when Brother Gabriel asked me, Sonia, do you think you could share your testimony? I thought this is coming again, but I told him, you asked me a hard thing, because how easy is it for us to talk about our personal intimate life with others? It's hard, right? But I can't hide what God did for me. And He did many things. So I will start by introducing myself to those that don't know me. My name is Sonia, and I'm from Romania, but the beautiful thing is that I'm not Romanian. And I am Gypsy.
Amen.
And here the pastor knows about Gypsies because he worked with them. But most people have the idea of the Gypsies that travel. That's true, there are Gypsies that travel, but there are three different kind of Gypsies. Those that travel, and then there's those that don't care and they are just like everybody else. And then there's that class that are the weird ones. And I'm part of that class. My dad is the chief of the tribe. And in my culture, one of the tradition is to have arranged marriage. Starting with 12, right, Pastor? 12, 13, 14, 17, you're old. 19, I don't know if you have a chance for someone to take you. But that happened to me. We are six in our family. I have three other sisters, two brothers, and it was the time when someone was interested, you know, into having an arranged marriage for me. It was when I was 13. When I was 13, I was in the seventh grade, and in the middle of the night, someone came up to us and visited my dad, and he said, we are interested to, you know, in one of your girls. And the tradition is that the girls just line up, and he picks the girl that he wants. And I said, well, I don't want to be outgoing because he might choose me, right? And I was really shy and quiet, and I didn't say anything. I even tried to be rude. Mm-hmm. And his mom looked and said, oh, we want this girl. They were pointing to us. She's so shy and quiet. We want her. I said, oh, no. You know, I wanted not, you know, not to be picked. But so they arranged the marriage in 2 weeks. And everything was done. Everything was ready. I was 13 and a half, and my dad was happy that I was going to be married. My mom was, my sister were, kind of like, hey, you're going to be married, na 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 na, you know, something like that. And the school was really unhappy because I did well in school, and they wanted me to finish the eighth grade. And finally the time came, and it was closer and closer, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, I don't want this, you know. And the guy got sick, and we never knew how he got sick, how it happened, but he never showed up. Only his parents, and said, we are so sorry, you know, we prepared everything. He got so sick, he's in the hospital, we don't know what's the problem, but we can't have this. How about in 2 years? And my dad said, okay, this is planned. So in 2 years, your Sonia is going to be your wife. You know, and they said, cool. You know, we're going to do that. But by this time, I was introduced to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. When I was 12, one of my friends came, and the only Adventist, by the way, in the whole school. And she came and she said, Sonia, I want you to come with me somewhere to meet my best friend. And I said, sure. Are we going to hang out with him? And she was like, yeah, sure, we can. We can even play games with him. And, you know, we can spend some time and good quality time. And I said, okay, we'll go. So she said, it was Saturday, and she said, "Are you going to dress nice? We, you know, this is my best friend, and I always dress nice when I'm around him." I said, "Okay, if you want me to." So my parents were, they were Catholic, they are Catholic, and they were, "So where are you going? You know, today's Saturday." And I said, "I'm just going to meet my friend's best friend." I said, "Okay." So we went, and she took me to a church. And this was a Seventh-day Adventist church. And I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked the way they talked. I liked the way the young people had fun without having fun. Mm-hmm. And I liked the fact that it wasn't just the regular Sunday when I went to the church and the priest was preaching the same sermon every Sunday. And so I told my parents, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to a Seventh-day Adventist church." And they're like, "What? You're not going there." I said, "Yes, I'm going. And you know what? They don't eat pork. I'm not going to eat pork either." "What are you talking about? You're going to eat and you're going to do the same thing." And I said, "No, I'm not. You know, I want to be my best friend's best friend also." And my parents were like, you know, this is not going to work. So by this time, when I told you I was 13 and a half, I didn't eat pork. I was trying to be vegetarian, and my parents didn't cook anything except pork. And that was a battle, and I didn't eat, and I just had to eat whatever else there was. It wasn't much because they were trying to push me to not to go that way because they were Catholic. And they finally gave up, and they said, "Okay, if you want to go to church, go ahead, but it won't happen much because you're going to be married." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So I didn't get married at 13 and a half, so I made it to the 8th grade. And I knew that marriage is not healthy because it's not God's time and it's not God's plan. And in my culture, if you're married with someone that is not a Seventh-day Adventist, maybe 95% you won't be Seventh-day Adventist because they don't accept it, and most of them are either Catholic or Pentecostal or Baptist. And my parents were Catholic, so I knew that, except, you know, from them to tell me, "Okay, Sonia, you can be a Seventh-day Adventist and let's go ahead and baptize you," I knew that won't happen. And in my culture, another thing is that after the 8th grade, you're not allowed to go to any other school. So my plan was, I want to be baptized and I want to go to a Seventh-day Adventist school, and I want to work for God. My parents' plan were, "You're 14, you get married, and that's it." And so I said, "Lord, how am I going to do this? This is not going to happen. They won't give me permission. My dad is the chief, and so it won't happen." So I asked for the sign. You know how you say, "Lord, show me," right? And you ask for the sign. So I was in the 8th grade, and my friend and I were the only Seventh-day Adventists. And in Romania, just before you go to a high school, in the 8th grade, you take a test, and that test will enable you to go to a high school. If you don't pass that test, then you can't go to a high school. So I had this test to take. But before that test, we had some preparing tests. I don't know if it makes sense. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know? And those preparing tests were on Saturday. Okay. And I was, you know, I was new to Seventh-day Adventist beliefs and everything. And I said, like, "I'm not going on Saturday. I am a Seventh-day Adventist." And the teacher was like, "Well, if you don't come, then you are by your own. You will have to prepare yourself for the big test. We won't help you." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yes, you're on your own." And I said to my friend, "Are you coming on Saturday to the test?" And he said, "No, I'm not going." I said, "Okay, I'm not going either." So we didn't go. And all the other classmates and all the other school took the test. And the next day, on Monday, sure enough, they said, "We won't help you, you didn't show up." So we had 2 weeks to prepare for this huge exam. And that was my only hope, because I could go to a high school, right? So I prayed and I said, "Lord, you have to be the one that helps me And if you are helping me, then I know that I will be out of this culture and I won't get married. So we went to the huge exam. This huge exam was a week. It took a week to take the exams. And we took the exam, and on Friday we finished. And we had our results on the next day, on Saturday. And guess what? Out of all those students that took the test, only my friend and I passed the test.
Amen.
And that was the blessing. I said, Lord, you showed me. Those kids went to that test, right? I said, okay, so I see that you want me to go, huh? You. And so my parents didn't know that I took that exam because they wouldn't allow me. So this was without their knowledge, but they found out that I took the test and they were like, so why did you go? I said, because God wanted me to. And they're like, okay, so what are you going to do with that test? I said, I'm going to go to Seventh-day Adventist High School. And they're like, no, you're not. You know, you're not going. It doesn't matter. You took that test. And so this was in August. In September, in Romania, school, in September, school starts in Romania. And I planned to go, right? My parents didn't plan me to go because they had an arranged marriage for my sister in October. And so in September, just one day before the school started, I packed a backpack and I tried to run away, right? And I told my friends, you know, I'm going with you and you take me with your car and we're going in the city and I'm going to apply to the Adventist school and I'm going to go there to school. And my friends said, okay, we can take you with the car. So my sister somehow found out and she told my parents. And right when I went to my friends, I was in their house, we're just about to go in the car, and my parents showed up. And I looked at them, so, do you think they were calm? No, they were not. They were like, you're coming in the car right now. And I couldn't say anything, and I went in the car. They didn't say a word until we got home. We got home, and they took me in their bedroom, and They asked me to sit down, and I sat down. My mom wasn't there yet because she was doing something with the car or something like that. And my dad came in and didn't say a word. He just stood right in front of me, and he was crying. And of course, I was crying like nothing, right? And my mom comes in. She was so mad. She slammed the door that she broke the window.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no, this I can see what is coming now. But she just sat down. My brother comes in my culture, the oldest brother has almost the same authority on the girls like the father. And by this time he was 23, and he was trying to be, you know, my oldest brother. And he came and he said, what did you try to do? You try to embarrass us? And he slapped me. And I looked at him, and my dad looked at him, because my dad didn't do anything, right? He didn't touch me anything. He was just there crying. And they said, okay, that's it. You're not going to the church anymore. And you're staying in the house. So I stayed in the house. And weeks were going by. And my friends found out that I'm staying in the house. They didn't let me go to church. And they were trying to keep everyone to be quiet so they won't find out in the culture what happened. Because my dad was the chief. And that would have been embarrassing for him. And they told me, Sonia, why aren't you trying to call someone to see if they can help you? And I said, who should I call? And I said, well, pray about it. God will tell you. So I prayed, and I called the Protection of Child, you know, or organizations. And I told them my story, and they said, you know, we can't help you. You're not abused. You have everything you need. Your dad is the chief. We know your dad. And we don't mess with you, gypsies. And I said, but I really want to go. And said, well, we can't. Our job is to put kids in the family, not to take them away from the family. And I said, okay, I'll show you that I am determined. And they said, okay, just try to cooperate with your parents. And I said, okay. So I hang up and I called European TV channel, and I told them, this is what is my story. And he said, is your dad the chief? Yes. Do you understand what would happen if this will go around Romania and around Europe? Do you understand that your dad will no longer be the chief? And you understand that you might be abused or whatever? And I said, yes, but I want to be baptized. They said, baptized? Why do you want? Never mind. And he said, so you want to go to school also? And I said, yes. So they came home. They came to my house the next day. And my mom was there, and she looked at me and said, you called them, right? And I didn't say anything. And I said, okay, we'll talk about it later. And I was like, oh no. And they came to her, and they said, so why aren't you letting your daughter and all that? And because in Romania, there's a law that says that every child should go to school at least 10 grades. So I said, I could use this maybe against my parents, you know. And I did. And they came and they interviewed my mom and everything. So the next day was all over the TV. And everyone found out. And everyone was calling now my dad for my culture. And like, what's happening with your daughter? You can't handle her, or, you know, send her to us or do something. Marry her, you know, the next day. And so they did. They called someone, and the family came, and they had a wedding in the next 2 weeks for me. And this guy was 21. He was married before, and it was set. You know, this time was no joke. And by this time passed by, and it was already March. And March the next year. So in 2 weeks, they had the wedding for me. And during this time, the protection of child was calling, you know, me without my parents knowing. I was calling them without them knowing. And all this going around, you know. And they finally said, okay, we know you really want to, so we are going to give you, you know, a chance to see what happens. So we are going to give you a place to stay in one of our orphanages. I said, orphanage? And they said, well, you didn't thought I will give you a hotel, right? And I said, no. And they said, are you sure you want an orphanage? You know, orphanage is, you know, I said, sure, let's just do it. And they said, okay, but you have to run away from home again, because we can't come and just take you. You're not abused. And I said, okay, I'll try it. By this time, my parents had a little bit more confidence in me. And I said, okay, we'll let you go out from house. We'll let you go walk for a little bit. And then you come back. And you're going with your sister. And my older sister was with me. And I called my friend and I said, hey, I have the chance to go to run away. You know, just call your dad and tell him he can come and pick me up. And we're just going. And it was perfect. My sister, someone called her to talk to her. And I didn't see her for about 5 minutes. My friend's dad came. He picked me up in his car and we drove to the city. And I went to the orphanage. And everyone was there by that time with the TV channels, with everything, that I made it, you know. And I was like, this is not real, you know. I was so overwhelmed, and I was like, what am I doing? So my parents the next day found out that I'm there, and they hired lawyers and everything, and they sued the orphanage and all that stuff. And then they called me to talk to them. So I talked to them and they told me, so are you want to come back home? You still have 3 days to get married. And this will be good for you. You're going to have a house. Your husband has a car. You don't need to work. Your husband will support you. Everything that. And that's it. You know, you come back and we'll forgive you. And it's a new life. We won't do anything to you. And that's it, you know. We'll forget all this story. And I said, are you going to let me be Adventist? I said, no, we are Catholic. I said, okay. Are you going to let me go to school? No, this is our tradition. I said, okay, then I won't go. And they said, okay. So that was the time when in front of the culture, they disowned me. And they said that I'm not their daughter anymore. So it was done. You know, I'm not their daughter. They went back. They suffered the consequences of being ashamed, you know. And now I was in the orphanage. In the orphanage, I had a roommate. She was 16. And by that time, she had 5 boyfriends. And the first night, I was there and I met her. The first night, it was a miserable night because she had someone in the room. So anyways, we had another roommate. So we were only 3 girls and 17 young adults, guys. And these guys were not nice guys. They were between 17 and 20, something like that. These guys were the guys that had drugs, you know, smoking, drinking, talking like, you know, you don't care who the person is, you just say things. And so they looked at me as the weird one. You know, you have a house and you have everything you need and you came to an orphanage. This is not your place here. We won't accept you, you know, that type of thing. And I start talking to them nice. I start showing them that they have potential. They have qualities. They're like, no, what are you talking about? We don't have that stuff. Why are you so nice? You know, you don't have to be that nice. We are so, just be like us. And everything was encouraged by authorities there. Like every type of thing, drinking and smoking and drugs and everything was allowed as long as it was safe, you know, as long as it was safe. And so I'm in the orphanage, and usually the guys were talking and the girls, you know, were having little committees with their drinks and with their smoking and drugs. And I was coming by and they were talking ugly, and then they were like, shh, don't talk like that, Sonia's coming. So they stopped talking like they were talking with me. And it was interesting. I had an experience. I was in my room and I was reading, and one of the guys came inside and he locked the door. And I said, what are you doing? You know, this is not allowed, this is not safe, you know, you just open the door. And I said, no, I don't want to open the door. I just want to sit down on bed. And I said, okay, so what's your plan? Just pray for me. And I looked at him and I said, you want me to pray for you? And he said, yeah. I realized that I don't speak well, I don't speak nice. And you speak so nice to me. So I want to stop. This is a guy that was 18, that was drinking, smoking, drugs, homosexuality. I looked at him and I said, I will pray for you. And then he took off. And these guys were nice with the people there that work with them. Usually they weren't. And everything was different now. The principal was 36. He was trying to give lessons to the guys how to be safe in their relationships. And you know, then he told them he was speaking with them ugly. And they didn't answer because I was there. And they said, why are you guys don't talk to me like you used to? You know, what happened? And he asked me, what happened, Sonia? How did you make this change? And I am here for 5 years trying to teach them. And I said, I don't know. Ask God. He said, God? Whatever. and there were a lot of other experiences. And by this time, I wanted really to be baptized. So I got ready everything. I was in the high school, and I got accepted to the Seventh-day Adventist High School. And someone wanted to give me a scholarship, and they said, well, you're a gypsy, so we don't know if you're going to learn or not, so we'll give you a scholarship for a few months. If we see that your grades are good, we'll give you another scholarship for another few months, but we'll see. So after a few months, I had straight A's with God's help, and they said, you are a gypsy and you have straight A's? We'll give you a full scholarship for 4 years, even your college. Whichever college you choose, we'll give you a full scholarship. And I said, really? I said, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And I said, okay, praise the Lord. And I had the scholarship, and for baptism, I had to buy the clothes. You know how in Romania they have the clothes, and you have to buy them, you have to do your own clothes. And I was in high school, and I had no money except the scholarship. And I said, Lord, you know, I need your help. So just to share a little experience about how to see that God does not depend on money, you know. God is not. If you need money, He gives you. And as much as you need, even more. And I was praying, Lord, can you help me, please? I need this money. I need them in the next hour. And so I can get my clothes. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them. And I prayed, and the orphanage called and said, Sonia, we were just thinking that you might need some money, you know. Do you need this money? And it gave me exactly the same amount for those clothes.
Amen.
And then the pastor comes in from the school and says, we have a choir trip to go to this church, but you need to pay for your own way, so who wants to come? And I said, well, I want to go. I want to go sing, but I don't have the money, right? So I prayed again. I said, Lord, you know, I need some more money. Can I have them, you know? And I got some scholarship every month. About $20, and this was the last month of the school year, and usually they didn't give it because it was only a few days of the month. So I said, well, I don't think I'll get it from there, maybe somewhere else, but you know where. And I prayed, and right after I finished the prayer, the teacher comes in and says, I got your money, and it's full scholarship, so it's a miracle it came this month. So I had this the exact amount for that trip. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. So all this time I'm in the orphanage and back to school and the orphanage and the school and all that. And my parents didn't talk to me at all during this time. We didn't have any contact at all. And the orphanage was going to be better. And I had my baptism, I got my clothes, everything. And I see the young people, I see the young men, I see them going shopping and coming back and going shopping. I said, usually orphanages don't have money. Where do these guys have the money from? And what are they buying? So I woke up, I was ready for baptism, I was ready to go to a church, and I see all these guys line up in their suits. And they're like, you know, we are ready to go with you to your baptism.
Oh,
and I said, really? I said, yeah. Are we going? I said, sure, let's go. So they came with me to church. And from then on, they came with me to church on Sabbath. And the orphanage was changing. This orphanage was not the orphanage that used to be. And everyone was coming to interview the kids. What happened? Why? How is it that you guys try to be better? What is it? And everyone was trying to find out the cure for all the other orphanages. And they were like, Sonia, I see you as being the leader in this group. What is happening here? You know? I said, I don't know. Ask God. And they're like, God. I said, yes, God. But we still had a problem. And that problem was that orphanage had the lowest grades in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And it was looked on really bad. and the kids were not respected because of that, and I didn't like that. And I went to their study halls and I said, hey guys, do you really want to be smart or dummies? And I said, now that you know God, you can be the best. And I said, really? I said, yeah, you want to pray? I said, no, you go ahead, pray, you know, just pray for us. I said, okay, I'll pray for you. So I prayed and they prayed in their minds, and I knew that. And at the end of the school year, the orphanage had the highest grades in Romania.
Amen.
And they said that that was God. And I was happy for that. In my Romanian high school, I liked it. So I finished my freshman year. And I had there a teacher, a Romanian teacher, that was close to my age. I was 16, she was 20. And I liked her. And she got an invitation to be a teacher at the Seventh-day Adventist High School in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And she went, and I was sad, and we kept in touch all this time, and she was like, Sonia, I talked to these people about you, so why don't you trying to come, you know, to see. You won't get a scholarship, you know, but someone will help you to pay for it. And I said, why would I go there if I have here a full scholarship, even for college? And I said, that's right. But see, try it. And I said, well, how can I do that? Because I need a passport. And in order to get a passport, I need who? My parents. And my parents didn't talk to me at all. And they are mad. And she'll try it. So I said, okay, I'll try it. So I took the phone and I said, hello, this is Sonia. And they're like, what? Who? Hang up on me. And I said again, hello, this is Sonia. I'm just trying to talk fast. They're like, no, we don't want to talk to you. And I said, okay. So they hang up. I tried the next day. It was Wednesday. And I tried the next day. I said, hi, this is Sonia. I really want to talk to you. I'm going to this school. And I mean, no, that's it. You don't have to call anymore. That's it. You know, you choose your own way. So stick with your way. And they hang up on me. I said, and then the next day on Thursday, I said, you know, I pray. And I said, Lord, if you really want me to go, then I don't have to convince them. You will have to convince them. And I said, the next day I'm going home and I want you to work in their hearts like you never did before. And without any comments, I want them to say, okay, let's go, Sonia, and give you your papers. I finished the prayer and I started laughing because I said, this sounds impossible, you know? I didn't talk to them for a whole year. And now I try to talk to them. They don't want to talk to me. They are mad. If I go home, I don't even know what they could do. They could marry me right away. I said, I think I should take someone with me. So I took my social worker and I told her, and she said, Sonia, you're crazy. You have a full scholarship for high school, even for college. You don't need that stuff. You don't need to go to US. I said, that's right. I don't need to. But if God wants me to, I will. And she was like, God? Again, God? Whatever. And I said, we'll have an experience with God. You will see how God answered prayers. And she said, I just go with you because it's my job. I said, okay, you'll see it. You'll see God. And she said, whatever. So we came, and we drove home, and I'm there. And I looked at my house, and I was so scared to go. And I was shaking, and the social worker was like, Sonia, let's just go back. This is insane what you're doing. I said, no, let's go. We'll have that with God. And she looked at me and said, again, you're God? God help you to get all this. God won't help you to get that. You don't need that. And I said, we'll see. So I went, and I knocked at the door. And nobody comes out. And I said, I bet they saw the car and they won't come out. And I knocked again at the door and my dad comes out. And it was good to see my dad. And I looked at my dad and he looked at me. I cut my hair by that time. And that was really, really bad because long hair in my culture symbolizes purity. And I cut it. And he looked at me and he looked at my hair. And he slammed the door in my face. And the social worker looked at me and said, I told you, Sonia, there's no God in this. Let's just go. And I said, no, let's just wait 5 minutes. 5 minutes, okay? And I was there and I was praying, Lord, don't let this lady's faith, you know, just to be ruined by this. you know, do something. So I waited 5 minutes, and my dad comes out with his suit, and he says, okay, Sonia, let's go give you your papers. And I looked at him, amen. And I said, Dad, this is me, you know? I have my hair short, and I ran away last year. And are you sure you want to give me the paper? You know, your signature and everything. Yeah, let's just go. Let's go and give you your papers. And I said, what papers are you going to give me? I don't know. What papers do you need? And I said, my passport. And they were like, oh, okay, let's go. And my mom wasn't there. And I said, but I need my mom's signature also. And I didn't have a chance to talk to her. Do you think she will want to? And he said, I don't know. So my mom comes out and he says, do you need to go somewhere, Sonia? I said, yeah, I need some signature. I said, and she said, oh, okay, let's just go and give you your signature. And I could not believe it. And the social worker was like, Sonia, is this the right address? And I said, yeah, these are my parents. And she said, so who is this God? So who is this God? And so we went, and they gave me the signature. It was a miracle. They talked to me like they never did. They hugged me. They forgot. It almost seemed like God erased their whole memory. It almost seemed like that. And I talked to them about it, and I said, you know, you were really mad. I said, no, Sonia, just forget about that, you know. And I said, really? And he said, yes, it's all gone. And it's all gone. So they gave me the signature, and I had the money to pay for the passport. And you know, you can get your passport in 10 days if you want to pay less. Or if you want to pay more, you can have it in 3 days. And I paid less because I didn't have the money. So I had it in 10 days, but I had a visa appointment in 3 days. So without no passport, you don't have a visa, right?
Right.
So I said, Lord, I'm just going to pay this money and you will have to do a miracle again. Because I don't have the money. So my parents left to their home. I left to the orphanage. Everyone found out the miracle that my parents talked to me. And they were so surprised. And the kids were like, wow, praise the Lord. And I said, praise the Lord? So yeah, God did the miracle, right? And I said, that's right, God did it. So I went there and I was praying in my room. And I said, Lord, I need that passport in 3 days, but I'll have it in 10. And I just said, thank you that I will have that passport in 3 days. And I prayed that prayer, and my phone rang, and that was my teacher from my Adventist school. And he works for the passport, and he says, Sonia, I see that you gave in your passport. But you paid for 10 days. I was just wondering, do you want me to pay more so you can have it in 3 days just in case? And I was like, I was praying for 3 days that I have my visa appointment. So I had my passport. And now I was like, Lord, I need one of my parents to come with me to get my visa. Because I was 16, I wasn't 18. And I said, but you know, from my city to the capital where capital of Romania to get my visa, it takes 8 hours to drive. I don't think my parents would come with me. So I prayed and I said, Lord, please, please do something, you know, work somehow. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, you know, I need you to come with me. It's just 8 hours drive and 8 hours drive back, but it'll go fast. And I just need you to come with me to help me to get my visa. Like, please. And she was like, sure, I can come. I'll drive up there. Sure, I don't mind. I was like, Mom, really? Yeah, sure, let's go. We'll do it. So it was. And the next day she came, and the social worker was like, Sonia, is this your mom? I cannot believe these are the same people like last year. I said, I can't either. But God worked, huh? And she was like, yeah, I guess. And so we went and we drove, and in the middle of the night, I don't know what time, really late, we were driving and really tired. And the teacher that went to this Adventist school in Oklahoma, the Romanian teacher, called and she said, Sonia, you can't go to get your visa. I said, why not? What happened? We just forgot to give you the most important paper to get a visa, and without that paper, you can't have your visa. And I said, oh no. I said, that's right. So we can't. We need to cancel everything. And I said, no, we won't. God will help somehow. We just go there and we'll work it out. And she's like, Sonia, you can't have the visa without the paper. I said, I know that. God will have to do something. He will. And she was like, okay. And I said, why don't you just send the paper, you know, through fax to my teacher, and my teacher will send it to the embassy. And he said, Sonia, it's in the middle of the night. This has to happen now. And in Romania, you know, I said, it will happen. Just send the paper to my teacher and he will have to send it to the embassy. So it was like that. She sent it. And I didn't hear from my teacher. I didn't know if he will send it or not. I didn't know if he had a fax machine or not. So I just waited. I didn't know if he will get there by 7. At 7 o'clock, I had the appointment to get the visa. And I went in, the gentleman called me, and he was looking through my paper, and he was looking, and so you're Sonia? Yeah, I'm Sonia. And hey, wait a minute, you can't have your visa. And I said, yes, I can. Of course I can. I have everything I need. And he was like, no, you can't. You don't have the paper, so therefore you won't have your visa. I said, no. My visa is in your fax machine. You know, my paper is in your fax machine. You just go get my paper, and it's done, you know? It's like, no, it's not. Your papers are late, so we can't give you a visa. And I said, okay, I'll just wait. And he said, okay, I'll let you go through the process, but you won't have your visa. I said, okay. And so I waited in the other room for the other gentleman to call me up to see if I get the visa or not. So he calls me up. He was a gentleman from U.S. And he said, so when do you intend to go to U.S.? And I said, yesterday. Because by this time, it was October. And I was late to school. And I was kind of upset that I was late. And he told me, so, you know, you can't have your visa, right? And I said, yes, I can. Praise the Lord, I can. And he was like, you know what? I just, this is my job, okay? I am the boss here. And I said, yes, sir. And I was walking here in my office, and I see this fax machine, and there's a paper that says, Sonia. I said, that's my paper. I have my visa now. And he said, no, you can't have your visa because they came in late, so you'll have to wait for another month, 6 months, to have your visa. I said, another year of missing school. I can't do that. And he was, I'm sorry. So he handed me a paper, a little paper like this, and it was folded like this. And he said, this is the paper that you need to come back. And he just looked at me and he smiled. And I tried to smile, you know. And he said, that's it, you know, your time is up. He said, no, I want to ask you, what's this paper? You know, what do I do with the paper? So I was agitated and I tried to find an employee to find, you know, what is this paper? And this gentleman that was working said, what do you need? I said, what is this paper? When do I have to come back? And he said, well, open the paper. And on the paper said, praise the Lord, this is your visa number. Amen. And that was my visa. So he gave me my visa and I had my visa. And now I just had to go to US, right? And my mom was happy. She praised the Lord. She said, praise the Lord. And I was like, praise the Lord, you know? And the social worker was praying. And I said, wow. So she was praying. Everyone found out, you know, that I got my visa. And we drove back home and everything was cool. The orphanage was wondering if I got my visa or not. And they found out. They were so happy. And my mom, she was like, I'm happy I came and I gave you, you know, the signature and everything. I said, I'm happy too. And I thought, you know, cool, this relationship is going to stay like that, right? It didn't. I called them next day and I said, thank you for coming to give me my visa. and everything. I said, what are you talking about? I said, the visa, you know, and the passport and everything. I said, oh, okay, whatever. And I said, you came with me. You drove with me 10 hours. You can't just leave me like that. And she was like, no, we can. Yes, we can. And they were back to the same attitude when they disowned me. And I couldn't believe it. It was a shock. And I said, what happened? What happened, you know? And I couldn't understand. So I went back home to say goodbye just before I left. And they didn't accept that. So I couldn't. So I was ready to go, and I was a little bit upset, and I was trying to argue with God, why do I have to leave so late, you know? So I went back to the orphanage and I prayed, and it was everything ready. I went to the airport, and I flew from Budapest to Paris, and it was a long, long flight, and very long and tiring. And I was praying that the next flight from Atlanta to Oklahoma, I will have nobody to stay with me. And if there's someone, that they won't talk, because I was so tired and I just wanted to sleep. And guess what? I had someone that just talked and talked and talked. And they loved their story. And it was a gentleman that was a businessman. He was about to get married. He was from Germany. His favorite food was Mexican food. His everything I knew about him. And I prayed and I said, Lord, if he talks so much, just let him say something useful, you know, that I can point him to you somehow. And he said, and by the way, I'm a Catholic. And I said, really? I was too a Catholic. And he said, really? Then maybe you can help me to understand something that I struggle all my life. I said, really? Okay, tell me, what is it? Well, you know how we Catholics believe, he was trying to tell me. And I said, yeah, I know how I believed. And I was like, you believed? So yeah, I believe. And he was like, so tell me, how is it that God has favorites? I said, favorites? I said, yeah, look at David. He was a criminal. He committed adultery and God forgave him. God didn't kill him. But look at Ananias and Sapphira. What did God do? Automatically kill them. What is that? You know, God is unfair, and I don't understand that. So I share some things about, you know, about God. And the key is repentance. And he looked at me and said, you know what, Sonia? I need to repent. I said, yes, you need to. And he said, I praise the Lord that this is the only time my boss gave me free time to go in vacation. And I praise the Lord that this is the time that I found the truth that I was struggling my whole life. And I was in my mind, I was like, praise the Lord that this is the time I came to school. Because before I was trying to argue with God, you know, why am I coming late to the school? So I came, and I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. That's a miracle.
Can you mention about what to do with the school?
Sure. One of the most important aims that the school has, Oklahoma Academy, is that to prepare workers for the harvest. And they have different programs that help you to prepare. They have a musical program, and they have the sanctuary. And the sanctuary came to Oroville last year, and I got to be the tour guide. And I was really scared, because 5 months after I came to this school, they needed someone else to come to give tours. And by that time, I knew my tour of the overview and the courtyard. And I said, you know, I can go. And they said, yeah, we want you to come. I said, okay, I'll go. So we went to this international prayer youth conference, something like that, right? And it was in Dallas. And I went there and I said, Lord, how am I going to do this, you know? And God gave a miracle, because there was an entire group of people that came directly from France to that meeting, and they were directly interested in the sanctuary. And I said, I can speak French, but it would be kind of hard to give the tour, but you know, you can do it, Lord. And I said, I would need some help. And I went to pray about this help, and I went to pray about wisdom to help me to give the tour. And while I was praying, a pastor came to Mr. Lineweber, the gentleman that is the caretaker of the sanctuary. And he said, you know, I am a pastor, I'm from France, and I see the sanctuary. And I was thinking that whenever you want to have some translations, you know, of the sanctuary, this is my number. So, and I was praying in this time, you know, for God to help me. So I came up and I told him, you know, I think God can help me to do this tour. And he was like, I think so too, because you have the helper here, the pastor. So I gave them a tour in French, and they were so amazed of this, of the power that the sanctuary message has. And that's what we do with the sanctuary. We just take it and travel to different places. And I had a minister that came. I didn't know he was a minister. I just saw him, a gentleman, and he had a huge Bible. And he was the only one there. And just before him, there went a huge group into the take a tour, and they were like about 50. And then I was waiting. I said, oh yes, I'm gonna have a big group too, you know, I'm happy. And there's just this man. I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to take just some one-on-one tour, I'll do it. So I went, and this past, I start talking about the heavenly sanctuary. And he looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, the heavenly sanctuary, you know, the in heaven. I was like, that's just in God's mind. There's no true sanctuary there. I said, really? Okay. So I try to show him everything, you know, that comes together about the heavenly sanctuary. And in the courtyard. So this wasn't a usual tour. This was a conversation all the time. They're trying to show and prove that there's a heavenly sanctuary. And I was in the courtyard, and I talked to him about the heavenly sanctuary and how and Jesus and all that stuff that you guys know. And he was like, I don't get it. This is, what are you talking about? Just give me your tour. I said, I'll give you my tour. I will. And I went in the holy place, and I tried to give him the tour about the candlestick and Christ ministering and the bread and all that and his intercession and everything like that. And he was like, and you're trying to say that he's our mediator in the heavenly sanctuary, right? And I said, that's right, you got the point. I was like, no, I didn't. That was just sarcasm. I said, really? Okay, let's go in the most holy place to see what happens. And I talked to him about it. And I talked to him about the importance of being in the Day of Atonement and making one with God. And he looked at me and said, I think I get the point. I said, really? Yeah. I think there is a heavenly sanctuary. I must come back though. And I see him the next day coming back, and he was the pastor of Church of Harvest or something like that, and he brought his entire congregation. He brought his entire congregation, and he wanted the tour about the heavenly sanctuary.
Amen.
And that wasn't the only thing, but he took all the studies he can to give a study of 6 months about the sanctuary in his church. And so that's how the sanctuary goes. And there's a lot more experience that God blessed me with.
So what are you studying in school?
What do I study in school? In Oklahoma Academy, I have college preparatory classes and all that stuff. But the main point is not that, honestly. The main point is studying the Word and studying the Spirit of Prophecy. And you see that everywhere. We start every class with prayer. We do everything with prayer. We have, next year we will have a Bible worker training program.
Amen.
We will have a fly program, training program. And then the following year we will have a massage therapy training program. And hydrotherapy and body work and all that. And that's the aim of the school, really.
And this is a regular Seventh-day Adventist Academy that starts every class with prayer?
Yes.
Y'all heard that.
there's
a lot of talk about our Christian schools.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of them out there doing what God said to do. So that's wonderful.
It's a small self-supporting boarding academy. It's not a conference academy. And anyways, the point that I wanted to share is, you know, God is willing to do much more in our hearts.
Amen.
All these miracles is nothing compared to God really has in store for us. It's really nothing. And it's amazing how, if we cooperate with God, it's amazing how much God can accomplish. And one thing is, He really wants to listen to you guys. He really hears you. When you have a struggle, trust me, it's so good to talk with someone, to have a brother to talk with, to pray with. But you know what? A man listens to your words, but God hears your heart. God really wants to listen to you. He really wants to hear your heart. He's willing. If you have something, what keeps you away from just going and talk to Him? Tell Him what you're going through. Tell him your need. You know what I found out that works? Thank Him. Thank Him for what He's doing. Thank Him for what He's going to do. And that shows faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how much God really loves to listen to you. It's amazing how much God really wants to work with you, to be with you, to talk to you all the time. Like, you walk and you do things and in your mind you're just talking to Him, and you have a conversation with Him, and you see the little things, how He answers back, and you're like, thank you, God, you know, and He's right there. What keeps us away from having that experience, guys? He really longs to do that. And you know what? The faith we have in Him, it's important. But He has a faith in us. And that is the most important thing. And talk to Him. Tell him what you have on your heart. Don't be afraid of Him. He's there to listen. He listened to me so many times. And He kept me away from all those things. Probably by now, I would have been married. And I would have had two kids. At least, huh, Pastor?
Well, you're 17, you were 13 and a half, so at least two.
At least two. I just, you know, I really want to see you guys in heaven, honestly. And if I really want to, and I'm just a sinner like you guys, how much more God wants you to be there? Think of that. But we must trust Him, huh? I just want to challenge you with this thought. And then we're going to have prayer. Verse 21. Can I read yours? Mine is in the window. Verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, this is the key, guys. How long? How many more years? How many more days? How many more minutes? Help ye between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. This is so straight up. This is saying, you know what? If God is God, then follow him. If Satan is, then go ahead, follow him. God says, choose what? Life. Choose this day who you will serve. If God calls you, you know in your heart. If God tells you something right now, don't keep making that voice to go away. Because at some point it will, and you won't hear it. As long as you hear that voice, as long as God can be found, listen to that voice, guys. Especially young people. Especially young people like Kimmy, like Maria, like Megan, like Candace, Matt, Taylor, Joe, Justin, Yasad, Brianna, Daniel, are we going to listen to God? You know what God is telling you. You know that. Listen to him. For once, at least. Because the next time it will be easier. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you, Lord, because our mistakes don't stop you to work in our lives, Lord. I praise you, Lord, because you do not have a faith like we have. I praise you, Lord, because we can rely on your love. I praise you, Lord, that only your love can change us and your Son. I praise you that you want to talk to us, Lord. Thank you so much for you are the only one that really knows who we are. You are the only one that knows what our heart wants, what our heart's desires, what our flesh desires, what is in our mind. And you know us each one individually, personally. You know in my life, Lord, the things that nobody else knows. I pray, Lord, that you will work down to the root of my heart. I pray, Lord, that today will be the day when we will choose to serve God and not Satan. Amen. I know, Lord, that it gets hard and we get discouraged and we think we know more than we do know, and we try to give you a hand. But Lord, let us fix our eyes on you. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, that we can be changed. And I pray, Lord, that no one else in this group will stop us from doing that. But I pray that we'll be in unity. We will encourage each other. We will lift up each other with your word, your truth, your love. And I pray, Lord, that this will be the group that has your spirit. This will be the group that will finish the work, that will be in love with you. This can be the group, Lord. This can be the group that finishes the work. Nothing can keep us away, Lord, except ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you will make us to have a single eye, a single goal, and you will work in our hearts. Search us, Lord. Try us. And I know that you will, Lord. And I praise you for that. And see, Lord, if there's any wicked way in us, and cleanse us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is there to prepare us to accept those things. Help us, Lord, to go through those things victoriously, but help us to run away from temptations. Thank you for your love. Thank you for leading in our lives. Thank you for us being able to say, I have an experience with my God, and I know my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for doing that in us. In Jesus' name.